Let's turn to God's word right now. Tonight I'm taking the liberty of sharing God's word with all of you. I remember it was about 4 months ago that I shared God's word during a very turbulent period of my life, and so I praise God for His goodness. Thank God for this new year. God has been so good to all of us, and I praise God for that. For a few minutes tonight, the Lord has laid on my heart a fundamental requirement that God desires from our lives. I want to share with you a fundamental requirement that God desires from our life. I would like to title this message, if you are writing it down on your notes, is God desires mercy, not sacrifice. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. When Jesus came to the scene at the very introduction part of His ministry, Jesus started by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus started introducing God's kingdom that He wanted to set in the lives of His people. Jesus wanted to change the fundamental mode of how people worshipped, how people believed, how people acted. And He wanted to put in place a family that He wanted to create for His kingdom. And in order to do that, Jesus actually had a very tall standard for the people who would be part of His family. Jesus started by saying, "This is the kingdom of God," or the kingdom of heaven, that you read in the Gospels interchangeably. And also that kingdom of God on the earth became the concept of a church, which is people who are called out of darkness into the eternal life. The group of people that Jesus had in mind, the people that He wanted to be part of God's kingdom, God was not looking at their exterior or regarding what they were doing. That was not primarily what God was interested in. Rather, I would say God was more interested in who they are, the internals, their heart, their attitude. And today, I hope that you will get a better understanding about the reality of God's desire for us as the people of His kingdom. After Jesus introduced the theme of God's kingdom, we know that early on in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus went up to a mount and He preached one of the longest sermons that is recorded in the Bible. We know it as the Sermon of the Mount. Jesus, without stopping, in fact, He took close to three chapters to speak about His desire from the people who would be part of His kingdom, or people who would be part of His family, or in our terms, people who would be part of His church, His bride. God has a fundamental desire from us, which was missing with the people who were trying to follow the law of God. We will come into that. If you have your Bible, I would like you to open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And I'm going to ask us to look at seven verses. I'm particularly focusing on seven verses, not more, because I will tell you the reason why. We are going to look at from verse Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 to verse number 9. Please open your Bibles. I would like you to understand these, what we call as the beatitude. Jesus said, "Blessed," or "favored of God." You are blessed by God, or you are in favor of God. But in these seven verses, from verse number 3 to verse number 9, Moonamtha Vakyam Thotta, Ombanamtha Vakyam Mare, the Lord Jesus wanted certain attributes or character traits in His people. Because when we go further, Jesus speaks about our situation when we are persecuted or things of that nature. But these seven character traits are what God requires from His people. I will read in English, and I've requested Sister Jilu to help me read in Malayalam. So let us pause and read one verses here. Okay, one verse. So first it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Atmavil dirdrayavar bhagyavanmar swarga rajyam avarkullada.
Thank you. The poor in spirit, I would say those who are humble in their attitude, humble or contrite in the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The second attitude that was needed is, we come to the next verse, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
ദുഃഖിക്കുന്നവർ ഭാഗ്യവാന്മാർ, അവർക്ക് ആശ്വാസം ലഭിക്കും.
Thank you. ദുഃഖിക്കുക, mourning, speaks to me about having a tender heart. Understand and empathize with other people who are suffering. You are mourning. And that speaks to me having a tender heart. The third thing he says is, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
സൗമ്യതയുള്ളവർ ഭാഗ്യവാന്മാർ, അവർ ഭൂമിയെ അവകാശമാക്കും.
Thank you. സൗമ്യത, meekness. Meekness is not weakness. I'll tell you that. Meekness is strength under control. You can do everything, but you are meek. It is an attitude that we show. We don't show off our strength, but we are controlling the greatest attitude that we are having, and that meekness is something that we see in the case of Jesus, who was meek, who submitted himself to the Roman government when he was tried. He could have called angels to help him out, deliver him from the cross, but he was meek. He had his strength under control. He did not use his strength when he could. The fourth one says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
നീതിക്കു വിശന്നു ദാഹിക്കുന്നവർ ഭാഗ്യവാന്മാർ, അവർക്ക് തൃപ്തി വരും.
Thank you. When we think about righteousness, I compare that with the righteousness of God. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ നീതി. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. It speaks to me about seeking and pursuing after God's righteousness. Down below in his sermon, Jesus speaks, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We need to have a hunger for the righteousness of God. We need to have a thirst for the righteousness of God. And then we come to the next one, which says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
കരുണയുള്ളവർ ഭാഗ്യവാന്മാർ, അവർക്ക് കരുണ ലഭിക്കും.
Thank you. I will speak on this more because that is the topic that I want to share with you. But let's go to the next one. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
ഹൃദയശുദ്ധിയുള്ളവർ ഭാഗ്യവാന്മാർ, അവർ ദൈവത്തെ കാണും.
Thank you. If we are desiring to see God, we need to be sanctified as well as separated for God. Without holiness, no one will see God. That is what the Bible says. So we need to be pure in heart. We need to not only get ourselves cleansed by the blood of Jesus, every day, but we need to be sanctified and we need to have a pure heart, because without holiness we cannot see God. And the seventh and the last one is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Samadhanam undakkunnavar bhagyavanmar avar devathinte putranmar ennu vilikkappedum.
Thank you. You know, we will be called God's children when we make peace. Making peace only happens when you are truly following the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. We would not like to make quarrel and divisions and turmoil, but we will be more towards making peace. So, in the midst of all these seven, when we come to the term that Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Can you look at this entire list? Among all the character traits that Jesus speaks, it is only the merciful who gets back mercy. It is like Newton's third law. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. It is only for people who are merciful that we will receive mercy from God. Nammala karuna koduthala devam namakku karuna madakki therum. It's only when we are merciful. If you see all the other traits, it's something that we receive, whether it is kingdom of heaven, or we are getting comforted, or we will inherit the earth, or we'll be filled, or we'll see God, or we'll be called the children of God. They are all something we receive. But in the case of being merciful, when we are merciful, God will in turn be merciful back to us. That is a great revelation, brothers and sisters. If we want to receive mercy from God, we have to be merciful ourselves. We cannot but be merciful in our words, in our actions. Because for all the other types, they are getting a reward. But with being merciful, we are receiving back mercies. And now as we go through that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus set some really high standards for us. You know, if you really look deeper into that, and I'm amazed, our standards are much higher than what God had set for the people of Israel. For example, if you are getting angry with a brother without a cause, that is equivalent to murder. If you are looking lustfully at a woman, it is equivalent to committing adultery. If we are praying and fasting and giving, or even doing something good for others, the Lord said we need to do it in secret, because if we are showing what we are doing, we already have received the reward. We need to love and pray for our enemies, not just our friends and family. So the order for a person in God's kingdom is a very tall order. But as we keep this order, Jesus returns back to a theme that I want to introduce to you, which we see in Matthew chapter 7. So please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 and 2. Jesus says like this, and it's a very simple but a very profound statement. Jesus says, do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. So this also speaks to me like a Newton's third law. For your action, you will receive an equal and same reaction. You will receive the same reaction. If you are judging others, remember, we are going to be judged one day. The standard that we are using to judge others, we are also going to be judged on that same standards that we set for others. Whatever measure we are using, with the same measure, we will also be judged. That's why Jesus said, do not judge anyone. Don't look for the speck in your brother's eye. When you have a plank in your eye, don't look for that speck. Because there are times when we are more guilty, but we point fingers at other people for what they do not have. So judgment is an inward act. It starts with a thought, and they sometimes spill out into words and actions. It all starts in the mind. You look at somebody, you start judging them. You start creating your opinions on them. You start becoming opinionated. And then you form some kind of a word that you speak out to other people. Look at that person. See her. Look at what they are doing. We are judgmental. But remember, when we are judging, God is going to judge. And that was how the Pharisees were. You know, if you think about the Pharisees, they were one of the most obedient people in the law. They obeyed the law. They obeyed it to the very core. Look at the Pharisees. God had only given them 10 commandments, but they broke those 10 commandments and made it into 613 commandments according to the Jewish traditions. They made it into 613 commandments. For everything they had a do's and don'ts. They cannot touch, they cannot do, they cannot walk, they cannot move here, they cannot move there. They became so legalistic. They wanted to obey God's commandments to the full. They were judgmental. And they were judging others. And so, even when we come to the case of Jesus, they were very quick to judge him, not knowing that this is God himself who gave them the 10 commandments at the very beginning. They started judging Jesus. I want to share with you two examples where Jesus says something very profound, and I want you all to think about that. These are the only two times when Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and he says, you need to learn what it means. What Jesus was saying, that you know the Torah and you can quote the Torah from A to the Z, but you need to learn what this means, what I meant. They still had a learning to do. And so let me come to the first example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Verses 10 to 13, I want to give you a couple of examples of how the Pharisees were quick to judge Jesus. We read here, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous." I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
അവൻ വീട്ടിൽ ഭക്ഷണത്തിനിരിക്കുമ്പോൾ വളരെ ചുങ്കക്കാരും പാപികളും വന്ന് യേശുവിനോടും അവന്റെ ശിഷ്യന്മാരോടും കൂടെ പന്തിയിലിരുന്നു. പരീശന്മാർ അത് കണ്ട് അവന്റെ ശിഷ്യന്മാരോട്, "നിങ്ങളുടെ ഗുരു ചുങ്കക്കാരോടും പാപികളോടും കൂടെ ഭക്ഷിക്കുന്നത് എന്ത്?" എന്ന് ചോദിച്ചു. യേശു അത് കേട്ടാറേ, "ദീനക്കാർക്കല്ലാതെ സൗഖ്യമുള്ളവർക്ക് വൈദ്യനെ കൊണ്ട് ആവശ്യമില്ല. യാഗത്തിലല്ല കരുണയിലത്രേ ഞാൻ പ്രസാദിക്കുന്നു എന്നുള്ളത് എന്ത്?" എന്ന് പോയി പഠിപ്പീൻ.
Thank you. Yagathilalla karunayila njan prasadikkunnu. I desire, or I am pleased with mercy and not sacrifice. You know, when Jesus spoke to them, what he was trying to say is that the tax collectors and the sinners were sick spiritually. They were sick with sin. And as a doctor, Jesus came to liberate these sinners and bind the wounds of these sinful people. It's like a doctor who does not visit any healthy patients. A doctor always goes to the sick. And Jesus was trying to give an example and says, these are the people who are acknowledging that they are sinners. I have come to visit them and heal them of their sickness. And then he says, you who think that you are healthy, you go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The other word for mercy is compassion. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. Now, if you look at the Bible, sacrifice is emphasized everywhere. You start from the book of Genesis with the sacrifice of Abel. You go to the altar sacrifice of Abraham, especially in chapter 22. Abraham decided to sacrifice his son Isaac. We see through the book of Leviticus the sacrifices that the people had to bring to kill an animal. And finally, we come to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Sacrifice is very important to God. But then when you compare in a scale between sacrifice and mercy, Jesus is saying, I desire mercy more than sacrifice. So the question that we need to ask is, are we critical about other people who do not meet our standards? Does our critical spirit come in the form of putting people down in our words or speaking bad about others? You know, Jesus says, I desire from you mercy and compassion more than sacrifice. You know, today we equate the sacrifices with the sacrifice of praise. When we come to worship, we think we please God with our worship. But with the same mouth, if you have spoken something bad about somebody, criticize somebody, and then we come to the house of God and we lift up our hands and we worship, God is looking at our hearts and says, you know, you have not pleased me with whatever you are doing in the house of God. I desire mercy more than sacrifice. I desire you to have a heart of compassion. Somebody has said, kindness is loaning someone your strength instead of reminding them of their weakness. We have to be kind. We have to be merciful. We have to be compassionate to other people. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God has not made any one of us to be a judge on this world. Judgment is only reserved for God. He alone has the prerogative. When we start judging others, we are taking the place of God and we are trying to make decisions that God alone can make. Let me share with you a second example. Let's go down to Matthew chapter 12 verses 1 to 8. This is another instance. At that time, we read like this. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath day in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. And then this is the important part I want you to think. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
ആ കാലത്ത് യേശു ശബത്തിൽ വിളഭൂമിയിൽ കൂടി കടന്നുപോയി. അവന്റെ ശിഷ്യന്മാർ വിശന്നിട്ട് കതിർ പറിച്ച് തിന്നു തുടങ്ങി. പരീശർ അത് കണ്ടിട്ട്, ഇതാ ശബത്തിൽ വിഹിതമില്ലാത്തത് നിന്റെ ശിഷ്യന്മാർ ചെയ്യുന്നു എന്ന് അവനോട് പറഞ്ഞു. അവൻ അവരോട് പറഞ്ഞത്, ദാവീദ് തനിക്കും കൂടെയുള്ളവർക്കും വിശന്നപ്പോൾ ചെയ്തത് എന്ത്? അവൻ ദേവാലയത്തിൽ ചെന്നു, പുരോഹിതന്മാർക്ക് മാത്രമല്ലാതെ തനിക്കും കൂടെയുള്ളവർക്കും തിന്മാൻ വിഹിതമല്ലാത്ത കാഴ്ചയപ്പം തിന്നു എന്ന് നിങ്ങൾ വായിച്ചിട്ടില്ലയോ? അല്ല, ശബത്തിൽ പുരോഹിതന്മാർ ദേവാലയത്തിൽ വെച്ച് ശബത്തിനെ ലംഘിക്കുന്നു എങ്കിലും കുറ്റമില്ലാതെ ഇരിക്കുന്നു എന്ന് ന്യായ പ്രമാണത്തിൽ വായിച്ചിട്ടില്ലയോ? എന്നാൽ ദേവാലയത്തെക്കാൾ വലിയവൻ ഇവിടെയുണ്ട് എന്ന് ഞാൻ നിങ്ങളോട് പറയുന്നു. യാഗത്തിലല്ല കരുണയിൽ എത്ര ഞാൻ പ്രസാദിക്കുന്നു എന്നുള്ളത് എന്ത് എന്ന് നിങ്ങൾ അറിഞ്ഞിരുന്നു എങ്കിൽ കുറ്റമില്ലാത്തവരെ കുറ്റം വിധിക്കയില്ലായിരുന്നു. മനുഷ്യപുത്രനോ ശബത്തിന് കർത്താവാകുന്നു.
താങ്ക് യു. യു നോ, ആസ് ജീസസ് വാസ് റെസ്പോണ്ടിങ് ടു ദ ഫാരിസീസ് ഹു കണ്ടംഡ് ദ ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ് ഓഫ് ജീസസ് ഫോർ ഈറ്റിംഗ് ഓൺ ദ സാബത്ത്, ഹി സേസ് ദേ സെഡ് ദിറ്റ് ഈസ് അൺലോഫുൾ ഓൺ ദ സാബത്ത്. I have not read anybody in the Bible where it is unlawful to eat food. Nowhere it says. It says you cannot cook food, you have to rest. But they all would eat on the Sabbath. But they said, your disciples are doing, they kind of took it to a next level. Your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And then Jesus told two examples. One of David and his companions who came into the temple, who ate consecrated bread that was only meant for the Levites, the priests. God did not punish David and his companions, because when God looked at David, he had compassion on them. He had mercy. He was not judgmental at that point of time. And so nothing happened to David. And then Jesus says about the priests on Sabbath duty. Sometimes they desecrate the Sabbath. I don't know how they do it. But God does not immediately judge and kill them. If God does not do that, if God is so compassionate, if God is so merciful, this is what God requires from our lives too. That may be the reason when the woman caught in the act of adultery was brought to Jesus, Jesus did not condemn her. He said, go and sin no more. Remember how God looks at us. He is a merciful God. He's full of mercy. We cannot be critical and judgmental on other people in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. Again, let me tell you, this is very big thing before God. We have categorized some sins as big and small. This is one of the bigger sins before God. Pride is one of the greatest sins before God. Judgmental, critical spirit is very big before God. So let us not judge anyone. Let us leave the judgment to God. Let us imitate Jesus in His mercy and compassion. Do you know about Jesus? This was foretold 700 years ago by the prophet Isaiah. When we understand the prophecy about Jesus, and let me take you there. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. This is definitely a prophecy about Jesus. And this is what we read. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, that is Jesus. From his roots a branch will bear fruit, that is Jesus. It all speaks about the person of Jesus. And then the prophecy is about seven attributes of the Holy Spirit that will rest upon Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Seven attributes of this Holy Spirit who would rest upon him. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord or in the reverence of God. But then I want you to pay attention here. It says he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth.
എന്നാൽ ഇശായിയുടെ കുറ്റിയിൽ നിന്ന് ഒരു മുള പൊട്ടി പുറപ്പെടും, അവന്റെ വേരുകളിൽ നിന്നുള്ള ഒരു കൊമ്പ് ഫലം കായ്ക്കും. അവന്റെ മേൽ യഹോവയുടെ ആത്മാവ് ആവസിക്കും, ജ്ഞാനത്തിന്റെയും വിവേകത്തിന്റെയും ആത്മാവ്, ആലോചനയുടെയും ബലത്തിന്റെയും ആത്മാവ്, പരിജ്ഞാനത്തിന്റെയും യഹോവ ഭക്തിയുടെയും ആത്മാവ് തന്നെ. അവന്റെ പ്രമോദം യഹോവ ഭക്തിയിലായിരിക്കും. അവൻ കണ്ണുകൊണ്ട് കാണുന്നത് പോലെ ന്യായപാലനം ചെയ്യുകയില്ല, ചെവി കൊണ്ട് കേൾക്കുന്നത് പോലെ വിധിക്കുകയുമില്ല. അവൻ ദരിദ്രന്മാർക്ക് നീതിയോടെ ന്യായം പാലിച്ചു കൊടുക്കുകയും ദേശത്തിലെ സാധുക്കൾക്ക് നേരോടെ വിധി കൽപ്പിക്കുകയും ചെയ്യും.
Thank you. See about Jesus, he says he will not judge by what he sees or decide by what he hears from his ears, but with righteousness and with justice. He speaks about the future judgment of the Lord. I'm telling you that when we are judging, one of the facts that we don't understand, Our spiritual growth is hindered when we judge other people. We need to be merciful and compassionate. We need to be merciful to others as God has been merciful to us. And that is a sign where we can live the abundant life that Jesus promised us. I want to close with another part of it in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. You remember when Jesus first came to Nazareth and on the Sabbath day, he opened the scroll from the book of Isaiah, started reading. I don't want us to read the whole portion. But then the last part of it, he speaks about, he closes there saying to proclaim the year of God's favor. He stops there at the point. But do you know that when Jesus stopped at that point of time to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, he was stopping at the middle of a verse. He stopped and it says that he rolled up the scroll and he gave it to the attendant. I want us to look at the actual passage that Jesus was quoting. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And then this is what we need to pay attention. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God. Can we hear that in Malayalam, please?
Eliyavaroda sadvarthamanam ghoshipan Yehova enne abhishekam cheedirikkonde Yehovayaya kartavinte aathmavu ente mel irikkunu. Hrudayam thagarnavare muri kettuvanum tadavukarkku vidudalum betthanmarkku swaathanthryavum ariyippanum Yehovayude prasada varshavum നമ്മുടെ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ പ്രതികാര ദിവസവും പ്രസിദ്ധമാക്കുവാനും.
താങ്ക് യു. യഹോവയുടെ പ്രസാദ വർഷവും പ്രതികാരത്തിന്റെ ദിനവും. ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ്, ജസ്റ്റ് പേ അറ്റൻഷൻ. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ഇയർ ഓഫ് മേഴ്സി ആൻഡ് എ ഡേ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്സ് ജഡ്ജ്മെന്റ്. യു നോ, യു സീ ദർ, വെൻ വി ആർ ടു ബി ലൈക് ജീസസ്, വി ഹാവ് ടു പ്രൊക്ലെയിം ദ 365 ഡേയ്സ് ഓഫ് മേഴ്സി ടു പീപ്പിൾ, compared to that only 1 year of God's judgment. This is what the Lord wants and this is what Jesus did. He could have added that part and spoken, but he only proclaimed the year of God's favor. You know, in James chapter 2 verse 13, and this is a key verse that I want you to note. The book of James, we read like this: judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Can we read that, please?
കരുണ കാണിക്കാത്തവന് കരുണ ഇല്ലാത്ത ന്യായവിധി ഉണ്ടാകും. കരുണ ന്യായവിധിയെ ജയിച്ച് പ്രശംസിക്കുന്നു.
Thank you. It says judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Think about it, brothers and sisters, are you hearing this? What I'm telling you, if we are not showing mercy to other people, compassion to other people, if we are judging others, we will also be judged without mercy from God. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We need to be merciful to others to receive mercy from God. We should be merciful to our spouse and our children in our family. Speak words of compassion. Don't be harsh. And God has been teaching me about this. Don't be harsh. Be merciful. Remember, let's be merciful over our judgment. And if we are merciful to others, God will even do greater things than we are thinking about. His mercy will reach out when we are sick. In Philippians chapter 2 verses 25 to 27, I'm not reading it because of the lack of time. We know about a brother called Epaphroditus. He was sick unto death, but we read that God had mercy on him and he raised him up from his deathbed. You remember, when we are sick, the mercy of God reaches towards us. He raises up from sickness. Many people in our thinking, we are so much bound by hatred and judgmental spirit that we are suffering in every way. We don't have peace of God. There is no joy of the Lord. We are always in a rage and anger and in judgment. I want us to be loving other people. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. He had mercy and compassion on the man who was wounded at the side of the road. Today the message for each of us is, God desires mercy and not judgment. Can we reflect on what we heard just now? For a moment, can you just close your eyes and look to the Lord? I don't know about you, but when I was meditating on this, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. Many times in the past, I have been very judgmental, and I said, Lord, forgive me. Let me be more compassionate. Let me be more merciful. Let me know how you are merciful to me, that I'll be merciful to others. Let me show your mercy and your compassion to people. That is the ultimate way of showing love to our neighbors. This is like loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. On this day when people celebrate Valentine, the love of God, let us show mercy, which is the ultimate, you know, show of our love for others. Let us be compassionate. Let us be able to reach people at the time of the need, and God will richly bless us. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Tonight, Lord, you have spoken to us some very powerful words. I pray in the days to come, let us reflect on our lives and let us not be quick to judge. Help us to remember that, Lord, you showed mercy on us, and I pray that we will be merciful to others as well. We thank you, Father, for this time. I pray blessings upon everyone. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. At this moment, we are going to spend some time in prayer. I want us to pray, and there are many needs that we need to pray for. I want us to understand that we need to pray for Sister Susan's dad for his complete healing, and whatever procedure the family is deciding to do for them. We need to pray for Susan's dad. We need to continue to pray for Michelle. God will heal her completely. For Jeremy, we need to pray for Brother Cecil's parents. We need to pray for many of our older people who are suffering. We need to pray for those who have lost jobs. I would like us all to pray for Brother Shadrach. He needs a new project. Let us pray for him. Let us pray for our dear ones who are lost, who are not in the family of God, and they are going to die into eternal death and damnation. There is no peace anywhere unless the Prince of Peace comes in our heart. Even though we get all the money in the world, but nothing can give us a peace that only God can give. Let us pray for every family in our church. Let us pray for the small children. Let us pray for our school-going children, for our college kids. Let us pray that these days that God will bring us closer to Him. Let's pray for our church expansion project. Let's pray that God will do a miracle. Let's pray for one another. Can you all right now take a little moment to pray? This is your time. Take your time to pray. Pray for others. Show that compassion, that love that you have. One of the ways of showing compassion is praying.